Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Emily Winicky and I'm the Community Engagement Coordinator here at Syracuse University. I would like to begin, as we do with all Syracuse University events, by acknowledging with respect the Onondaga Nation, firekeepers of the Haudenosaunee, the indigenous people on whose ancestral lands Syracuse University now stands. I am now honored to introduce this morning's speaker, Mike Brown. Mike Brown is the president and CEO of the YMCA of Central New York since November 2017. He previously served as the CEO of the YMCA of Rock River Valley in Rockford, Illinois. Originally from California, Brown has over 25 years of service with Ys around the country, including Houston and Georgia. The YMCA of Central New York serves over 55,000 members in 7 branches and 60 outreach sites throughout Onondaga County through programs that promote youth development, healthy living, and social responsibility. In 2017, the YMCA of Central New York provided almost $2 million in financial assistance to over 17,000 people in the Central New York community. Please join me in welcoming Mike Brown.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Well, I appreciate you having me here this morning to share a little bit about the YMCA and where we are. As Emily said, I have been here since 2017, so just had my 2-year anniversary here in Syracuse. I have learned a lot about snow. My family, I have 4 kids, 2 younger ones, 14 and 17. And 2 older ones, 24 and 26. My 2 older ones are still in Rockford, Illinois. My younger ones are here with me in Manlius. They go to FM schools. And it's been quite the adjustment, trying to learn the weather. And it's not so much the snow, right? It's the fact that winter is 7 or 8 months long. That's not what I was, I did not realize it took as long as it did. So I appreciate you having me here today. I really want to just share about the Y and what the Y is doing, both some facts about the Y that Emily has already talked about, as well as where we're going as an organization. I've been involved in the Y for about 25 years. I started in California and followed my boss back in the 90s to Houston, Texas, and then I moved to Gainesville, Georgia as the CEO of the Y there for 9 years. I adopted my 2 older boys and moved to Rockford, Illinois, where I served for about 7 years. And then we made the transition and the move here to Syracuse with the hopes to get closer to family, which we are. All of our families in Baltimore, Maryland, and Delaware, so a 5 or 6 hour drive compared to the 14 or 15 hours that we once had. So it's been a great two years. I really have found Syracuse to be a very open community. The greater Syracuse area, folks are extremely nice and pleasant and really want to take the time to get to know you. And I think the leaders in this community are wonderful. There's a lot of new leadership, including myself, that I think cares deeply about the future of our community. So I'm excited. I'm excited to be here and excited to share with you the Y. So I grew up in the Y. I was a scholarship participant. I had to sell toffee peanuts when I was younger to pay for myself to go to camp. Back then, if you wanted to go to summer camp, you had to raise half your money and then the Y scholarshiped through its donors the other half of your tuition. My mom was a single mom and it was an opportunity for me to get involved in Y camps and participate as an athlete in the sports programs and so forth. So I grew up as a Y brat, have been in the Y ever since I was 4 years old. Involved in teen programs, community volunteering, leadership programs, summer camp, childcare, and so forth. So I love what I do, but I love the organization as a whole. But the hardest thing to explain to people is that we are more than just the gym and swim. Now, back in the 50s and the 60s, that was probably very real. We probably were seen as a gym and swim. And I don't know how many of you know that at one time, the YMCA was made up of men. It was stood for Young Men's Christian Association. Now we're just called the Y. Still a Christian organization, but not an organization of Christians. We are an organization that accepts people from all different backgrounds and all different walks of life. But one thing I did learn, and I didn't participate in this, but the men used to swim naked. And I can't even imagine it, but times have definitely changed, haven't they? Definitely a different place and a different world. So I want to give you a few facts. We just changed our name to the YMCA of Central New York. It used to be the YMCA of Greater Syracuse. But one of the things that we want to make sure is that we're not just seen as a Syracuse Y, that we truly serve 7 other communities. And then there's about 15 independent YMCAs that surround the Central New York area. And in the Y system, there's a lot of push for YMCAs to stop being independent and actually work together and come under one umbrella. And we hope that in due time, YMCAs like Fulton and Oswego and Binghamton and Cortland and Auburn and different Ys throughout our community start to work together and collaborate versus work so independently. So we changed our name to the YMCA of Central New York just this past 2 months and announced that so that we can be seen as the provider and the large Y in the area. We're considered the 74th largest YMCA in the nation. So there's 864 independent YMCAs across the U.S., and we are ranked number 74 based on our size. And that's a huge change for Syracuse, because the Y used to just be the downtown Y and the north Y, and they've expanded over the last 10 years quite a bit, which has allowed them to be considered one of the large Ys. And that's good for our community, because the national Y in Chicago and Ys that surround us lean on large Ys like us for support and help with the operations of their Ys. Matter of fact, we were selected as one of 18 YMCAs across the country that is being paid by the national system to be a provider of service to other YMCAs in the nation, which says a lot about our Y and the work that Hal Welsh did, our previous CEO, and the work that he did over the years. So, the Y is a leading nonprofit. We're committed to building youth and families and strengthening our community. I'm not going to read this whole thing to you, but our 3 focus areas are youth development, healthy living, and social responsibility. So it is important to us equally that the Y really contribute to the community and help people in all different aspects of our work. The triangle and the Y, does anybody know what it stands for? Spirit, mind, and body. So in the Y logo, we have a triangle, and a triangle has 3 equal sides. And it's always been said in the roots of the Y and the history that spirit, mind, and body are equal in what we provide to people in our work. And that we hope to educate people not just on taking care of their bodies, but also their mental health, their spirit, as well as their healthy living. So we have 7 branches at 6 locations. We have 6 physical locations, and then we have 1 branch, which is our arts branch, which has a writing center. They do a lot of the school programs here in Syracuse in the arts and music. And then we also have art studios at several of our locations. So we have a Manlius branch, Fayetteville, which is our East Area Y. We have the Downtown Y, the Baldwinsville Y, the North Y, which is in Liverpool, and then the Southwest Y, which is located on the campus of OCC. And then we have our 7th branch, which is our arts branch. We're in over 40 different locations throughout because we do a lot of programming in the schools and several churches and community programs and community centers throughout the greater Syracuse area. So we're not just limited to the 7 branches that we have, but also in our partnership and our work with other community agencies and school districts, where we provide about 2,000 kids after school programs, childcare, preschool, and so forth throughout our community. We're 160 years, 58,000 active members, and we have a budget of about $24 million. And like I said, that has grown over the last 10 years. $2.4 million was given away in financial assistance to about 15,000 individuals through our work. So one of the things that is really important, and we fight this all the time, is people think, oh, this is my fitness center, this is just my gym, is trying to activate our membership to understand that we are a nonprofit organization. All of our money that's invested is put back into facilities and operations, and that we have to raise dollars, a good portion of dollars in our budget, to be able to scholarship and to service folks who can't afford the programs that we have, or so a child can go to camp or participate in childcare or in our sports programs or aquatic teams and so forth. So we raise about $2.5 million in local sponsorships, as well as our members who make additional donations to the YMCA. And here's how I always say, membership pays for the current operation, but it does not pay for the support that is required to help people who otherwise couldn't afford it. And so we're really proud of what we've been able to do so far, but I'm really hoping to do some new things over the next couple years as we engage teenagers in our community to have access to the YMCA and to get them involved in the programs that we offer. So we have 2,000 campers that participate in our summer camps, 1,500 children in our after-school program. So every day we have about a couple hundred staff that are dispersed into those 40 sites where we run after-school programs in the schools or in the local churches that provide care when the school bell rings till mom or dad can come pick them up, usually around 5:30 or 6 o'clock. We have 5,000 plus that have been served in our family programs. We do a lot of family nights, family activities to get kids and families working together and spending time together. 200 cancer survivors served. Has anybody heard of Livestrong? So Livestrong is our cancer survivor program. It's one of those things that people don't know until they need it, right? And the Y does this very well, brings people together who are either being treated or are in remission and certainly need the support and the physical fitness that is required to remain healthy as you're going through such a devastating disease. My wife was diagnosed with cancer about 6 months after we moved here. She has brain cancer. And so I never really understood Livestrong, but it's amazing when tragedy happens at home, how you realize and suddenly understand how important a program is. So we have several hundred participants that participate in the cancer survivor program called Livestrong. And then we have about 160 folks that are living in our Downtown Y residential. Did everybody know we had residents? So we have senior apartments. We have about 30 senior apartments. They're one-bedroom apartments that are attached to the Downtown Y. And then we have 109 men-only dormitory-style apartments. We just did $7.5 million in renovations to those apartments. It was very much needed. If you've ever been in that building, it's an older facility and certainly needed some love and care. So we secured some grants from the state and from federal housing to help pay for renovations in our men's center. A lot of people ask me, so who lives there? I can't put it in one basket. We have folks that are homeless. We have folks that are challenged. We have mental health crisis within our men that are living there that really need support and services. So we have case managers and folks that are involved in the housing part of the Y, and that's all they do. Our residence director and our case managers provide individual case management and support for each of the residents that are there. But we also have people that just fell on hard times and needed a place to live temporarily as they pick themselves back up and get to a place where they can move out and live in an apartment secure a job and so forth. We just had one individual that lived with us for about 5 years, and we sent him to school for truck driving, and now he's a truck driver, and he's moved out, and he's found an apartment, and is moving forward in his life, but still involved in the Y and giving back to make sure that other folks have access. We deal with drug addiction, mental health, homelessness, areas of the Y that are extremely important to the men and some of our seniors who live there. We have 1,600 volunteers. This is one of the facts of the Y is that a boy who was 22, a man, I guess he would be a man, 22 years old, named George Williams. And George Williams started the YMCA in America, and he was a volunteer. He was not a paid staff person. So back in the day, there were not staff of YMCAs, there were volunteers. We've become much more staff-driven as an organization. It's harder to find folks who want to volunteer and give back to their community. We're proud of this number because we have about 1,600 folks that volunteer for various projects in the Y, from servicing the front desk to checking people in to helping us with marketing or administration issues, folks that are on our branch boards as well as our corporate board. So every YMCA has volunteer opportunities to be on the board and help with the strategic plan and the fund development and providing access to folks in that local community. So we have 1,600 volunteers and growing, really activating our membership to get involved beyond what they signed up for, which sometimes is just the gym. So one of the things that I wanted to make sure before we get into questions is just what is the Y doing? Where is it going? I'll tell you, one of the most important things to me is figuring out a way to activate 58,000 people. We as a YMCA have such an opportunity to activate a membership to doing good in their community. So a lot of people come because they want a place to work out, or they want to use the pool, or they want to take classes, and they know that we have childcare and places for their families, teens that come. But we want to find a way to activate more than 1,600 people to get involved. So we have a program called Togetherhood, which activates members and staff to go out and do community projects anywhere in the community. It's not self-serving to just the Y. It's volunteering at rescue shelters, food pantries, and any other nonprofit or service that could be provided. And we do that once a month where members get involved in some of the volunteer opportunities that we find as an organization. But I want to go deeper than that. We have a crisis, in my opinion, in our community when it comes to children. And one of those areas is foster care and adoption. And I adopted my two boys through a program that I started in the Y, where we said we were going to help teens that were aging out of the system. Many of you may not know this, but kids age out. So at a certain point at 18, if they don't have a family and they don't get adopted, they age out of the system. And I was sitting in a program that the Y was doing in Georgia, and there was a group of leaders that were planning a teen program of foster care kids, and they wanted to do it at the Y. So I showed up. I was going to introduce the folks that, you know, planned this event for these teens. We had about 90 teenagers that were involved in the program, and their speaker was McDonald's. And the booths that were set up inside the gym for the kids was all military armed forces. And I realized, so what we're telling these kids when they age out of the system is that your career is going to be in McDonald's or you need to join the military. There were no colleges, nothing that showed these kids that there was a way to take care of themselves. And we gave them a level that fast food is where you're going to be based on who you are. So I worked really hard with my team to change that and to really help age kids out of the system. And in Georgia, we activated our membership and taught members about foster care and that it's not as harmful and as difficult as everybody thinks it is. The one thing I learned in class was that we don't even know as parents how our own kids are going to turn out. Because at a certain point in life, they make their own decisions. And there's not a label that needs to be placed on foster care kids any different. And I know this because I adopted two teenagers out of the system who tell me all the time we would be in prison if it wasn't for our family. And they've had a rough road, but they certainly have a better life that we hope that we provided them. So imagine if we could activate 58,000 people who are involved in the Y and get them excited about helping some of these kids that are aging out of the system, just to educate our members. And so that's one of the priorities that we have as an organization, is to take people from that casual relationship where they just work out every day to a committed relationship that really starts to care and provide for a community that has crisis in its current state. So we're excited about that. The other challenge that I was given when I came here 2 years ago was to figure out what to do with the downtown Y. And boy, everybody has an opinion about what to do about the downtown Y. I have talked to the mayor, I have talked to leaders throughout the community. I've put a committee together of some downtown folks and some of my board members to really determine what are we going to do. We have built Ys all around us, but the downtown Y is an aging infrastructure that's costing the Y a whole lot of money to keep open. And I've had varying thoughts from folks around the community. But the challenge was, do we find a way to renovate the downtown Y, which the estimate 5 years ago was $26 million because of the way that that Y is set up, or do we build a new one? Well, our committee made a recommendation to the board that we build a new downtown YMCA. And there's still the thought that maybe the current downtown Y and the residents could stay open for a while, or even continue to add more residents to that facility, but that the community overall would like to see a new downtown YMCA in the downtown area. And so that's one of the challenges that we have, is to begin that process and really think about what we're going to do to really give the downtown Syracuse area opportunity to have a new Y just like everybody else has. And then there's also partnerships that we're working through. So we're opening up in the spring a Northside Women's Fitness Center, a wellness center on the north side in the Housing Visions Complex. And that is supposed to open sometime in March or April. And we think that there's opportunities when we figure out in this community what we're doing with I-81, which I hear is right around the corner, right? and then there's also, through the Allen Foundation, purpose-built communities, which is revitalizing pioneer homes in some of the area that needs some revitalization with the Housing Authority, purpose built, 81 coming down, and what role could the Y play to maybe even put a satellite YMCA in that area for residents. So we have a lot of hopes to really change what we're doing in the downtown area and to expand our operation when appropriate. And then we have a couple other communities, Camillus and Cicero, don't currently have YMCAs, so is there opportunity to bring YMCAs to those communities and to get people involved? So I think we have a lot of work charted as an organization and a lot of opportunity to take the Y to the next level and provide service in our community. So I'm going to open it up for questions.
I want to know if you know John Tumino, who works with the homeless, John Tumino of In My Father's Kitchen and Higher Ground. And also I'd like to know, you said, you talked about what your sons say they've gained from you and your family, and I'd like to know what you've gained from them.
Sure. So I don't know John. I would love that connection. I've really been trying over the last 2 years. I've met a little over, I keep a record of everybody I've met with, and I've met about 200 leaders over the last couple of years, but I have not met John. So certainly, yes, definitely. And what I've learned from my boys is patience. I've learned one thing about the, they're both brothers, is that regardless of where you are in life, you need to provide love and hug your kids. And so they've really given me kind of what I didn't get from my father, who my father still can't say I love you out loud. And it's something that it's taught me with my kids and my younger kids is that we need to constantly provide that love and that affection to make sure that they grow up and can give that to other people. They've really made me realize how much work we have to do in our communities. Because I don't understand how we have as many churches as we do and as many organizations as we do and that there's any kids that are sitting in the system. It just shouldn't be that way. There are plenty of people that can solve this problem, and the boys really opened my eyes to understanding how much opportunity there is to help them progress and what we could do in a community.
Hi. The Y has so many wonderful programs and a lot of running programs. And I wonder if there's any plans to ever have a walking program.
Huh. We will talk about that. I do believe that there has been some walking programs, but we maybe need to do more if you're not aware of that. Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned that being a community organization. Why is it just men, that single men, that are allowed to stay at the Y when women are barred? Why is that?
Well, because it's dormitory apartments, so there's no bathrooms. It's just a single room. So there's 99 men right now currently residing in there. We would have to displace and remove men in order to accommodate women, and that just has not been done. We do have women in the senior apartments. So the senior apartments are co-ed. But the dormitory apartments, because there's only one bathroom, currently is not. Yes?
One of the issues that preschool programs have is transportation for the kids. I wonder if that's been an issue at the Y, and if you do have transportation services for kids.
So I don't think that we have transportation for the preschool, the youngest kids, the two-year-old toddler age. But some of the school districts bus the kids directly to the Y. So at Manlius, Fayetteville, Baldwinsville, they drop off a whole lot of kids in the afternoon. Yeah, so the school districts have been very helpful to us.
Would you ever have it in your schedule to be able to come by and maybe do a short presentation to, like, say, my Healthy Habits and Triple Play program at the Boys and Girls Club, or even probably better yet, talk a little bit about your experience with the foster care to some of my coworkers? I really got a heart for that, and I don't know much about it, but I know I really love these foster kids, so
sure.
I'd like to know more about it.
Yeah, here's my card. Definitely would be interested.
Okay. Hello, I was just curious that, as you said, most of us know you as a gym and a workout facility. It seems like every time you turn around, there's new workout facilities popping up everywhere for very cheap memberships. And I'm wondering if those have had any effect on your membership.
Yeah, I would say that for the individual adult, it has impacted the Y. From a family standpoint, even our seniors and our married couples, we still do very well. It's a great deal. It's cheap for the individuals if a, you know, individual wants to go sign up for Planet Fitness. But I will tell you that people always tell the story that they're so much more welcomed in the YMCA. They feel like they're a part of a bigger community. And that has helped keep people in place. But it certainly has had an impact. The why right now, we budgeted this next year for no growth. So it certainly has impacted. This is why we're looking at other communities to put YMCAs in, because we have reached our capacity at all of our centers.
Can you help us understand the relationship structurally between what you call the independent Ys versus, I guess, Ys like yours?
Sure. So we're technically an independent Y with 7 facilities. So every Y in the country is its own 501c3 nonprofit organization, and they're regulated by their board of directors, which are volunteers in the community. So Cortland, for example, is an independent single facility YMCA. Auburn has Scanty Atlas as well as the Auburn Y, so they're a 2 facility YMCA. And we as CEOs try to get together. There's complex issues. Being a CEO of a larger Y versus a small independent Y, there's different tasks, I guess I would say. But we all try to come together at least twice a year and talk about issues and where the Y is going. My hope is that we'll eventually collaborate or merge together and become one YMCA. Because if Fulton has an issue, it impacts how people view the YMCA of Greater Syracuse. And Fulton is a Y that's struggling, that we've actually managed in the past. It's a struggling YMCA, a struggling facility. They wanted to merge with us, but we could not make that merger happen because it was losing so much money. And so we declined to bring those Ys together. But my hope is that as we all get stronger, that there'll be a commitment to coming together. And I mean, if there's 10 independent YMCAs, that means there's 10 CEOs, 10 HR directors, 10 CFOs. There's probably a lot of cost effectiveness of us all coming together so that we can invest those dollars in different ways.
I know you weren't here when the other Ys outside of the downtown were built, but I'm assuming that there is a structure in place that determines, that's nationwide, about how to locate Ys. And I was curious that there is no Y in Cicero, which is the largest, has the largest population in our county. So is it based on population? Is it based on the average income of families? What's the rationale for determining when to open up another Y?
So it comes from donors. So it's when a volunteer in a community says, hey, how come we don't have a YMCA? And then that volunteer gets committed to helping you work through meeting people in the community and raising some of the dollars that are necessary to build a Y. So from my understanding, the Baldwinsville Y took like 12 years to actually make happen. They had some property challenges and so forth. At one time, I believe our Y managed an ice rink and an operation in Cicero. And eventually that fell apart. So I know there's some history there. I'm actually meeting with we were at the state fair this year. We had a booth. And somebody wrote down their name and their number and said, please have the CEO call me. I'm interested in a Y in Camillus. So I'm meeting with her on Friday. And that was just a random individual who says, I want a YMCA in my area. And that's honestly how Ys get started. It's really grassroots efforts from residents and volunteers and donors.
Thank you for your presentation. Could you comment on the reciprocal arrangements of YMCAs? Is there a standard or is it variable for each of the Ys around the country?
So we're involved in the nationwide membership. So if you have a membership with our Y, you can go to any YMCA in the country. There are a few Ys in the country that have said they're not going to do that, but majority of YMCAs across the U.S. allow you to use your membership. for a limited time period, yeah.
Can you talk a bit about the services and programming that National supplies to the independent organizations?
Yeah, so the way our national organization is set up is that they create 8 standards that determine that you can be a YMCA. So they don't provide programming. They provide standards and support and training in some of the areas and focuses that we're in. If you don't meet the standards, then they can pull your charter and tell you that you're no longer a YMCA. Yeah.
Do you network and work with other agencies, social service agencies, government agencies?
We do, and I have challenged myself to be a part of the Human Service Council, which is made up of nonprofits and human service agencies throughout the community. Our staff are very much involved in the community and certainly are willing to work with partners from all different aspects.
Can you take me through the thought process of the Woman's Only facility, and can you explain to me how it will not get legally challenged?
I don't believe it will be legally challenged, but I could be wrong. I haven't thought about that. But this is a partnership with St. Joe's Hospital and Center State CEO. We raised a little over $1 million through some feedback that Center State CEO was doing. There is a lot of women who can't unveil or undress with men present based on their own religion and their backgrounds. And so the idea came about having this small, it's not a huge, but a small wellness center that would support women in their wish to work out and be a part of a program like this. So I don't know about the challenge. We are going to allow boys, children up to 10 years old, because there'll be a child care center in there. But after 10 years old, it's for women only. Thank you all very much.